Betty was 8 months pregnant with her second baby. She already had a boy. She was really hoping for a girl. One morning, she was washing when she noticed that she was bleeding just a little bit. She didn't have any pain, so she didn't worry about it. But the next day, there was some more blood. Her sister Vera was visiting, so Betty told her that she was bleeding down there. Vera said, "Is your bag packed? We're going to the hospital now."
Hello, and welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol.
And I'm Tammy. Have you ever had a baby? Or maybe seen a baby being born? Isn't it wonderful to see a new life coming into the world? I worked at our crisis pregnancy center for many years, so I know that things can go wrong. But really, most babies are born safely in spite of the risks. I've had three myself. Today, we want to find out why Betty needed to go to the hospital in such a hurry. We'll be hearing about a very important sign that something's wrong. Bleeding from the vagina in the second half of pregnancy, the second 20 weeks. It's fairly common and happens in about one pregnancy in every 20. And it's always dangerous. So let's hear some more of Betty's story.
Straight away, Vera called their neighbor to look after Betty's little boy and packed a bag for her to go to the hospital. Betty didn't want to go because she had no pain and it wasn't time for the baby yet. "Listen," said Vera, "my friend started bleeding at 7 months. She didn't know it was dangerous and stayed at home. Then she started bleeding a lot and died before she could get to the hospital. Now let's go." Now Betty was happy to go to the hospital quickly. She was embarrassed because she didn't feel sick. But the staff at the hospital told her that she did the right thing. They didn't feel inside. That could make it worse. They looked with an instrument, and it turned out that she had a very low placenta that was blocking the baby's way out. The doctor quickly did a cesarean operation to get the baby out through her belly before she bled any more. The baby was small because she was born early, but she was saved, a beautiful baby girl. And Betty was still healthy and recovered quickly, too. Later, Betty asked the doctor what had happened. He answered that whenever a woman starts to bleed when she gets pregnant, it's always a dangerous sign and she must act quickly. He explained, "When a baby begins to grow and develop inside the mother, it gets its food through the umbilical cord from the placenta. The placenta sticks to the inside wall of the mother's uterus and has lots of the mother's blood in it. The baby's blood goes through the placenta and absorbs everything the baby needs from the mother's blood. That placenta will stay stuck to the uterus until after the baby's born, and then follow the baby out. Then the mother's uterus can squeeze and cramp down small and stop the bleeding. But sometimes the placenta comes unstuck before the baby's born. That leaves a large bleeding area, and the mother will bleed to death if the baby and the placenta don't come out immediately and let the uterus cramp down." Betty asked, "What might make the placenta come unstuck?" The doctor told her, "There are some things that make it a bit more likely to happen, like smoking, drinking alcohol, diabetes, and high blood pressure. When you're pregnant, you really shouldn't smoke or drink at all, and you should always get treatment for diabetes and high blood pressure." Then the doctor told her another possible reason for the bleeding. It could be caused by a blow to the belly. The placenta can begin to come unstuck and start bleeding inside if the mother is hit hard in her stomach, perhaps in a car accident or if she falls down. "But I didn't have any kind of accident," said Betty. "So I wonder what happened." "Well," said the doctor, "there are other causes of bleeding, and any of them could be dangerous. Sometimes a woman who is 7 or 8 months pregnant will begin bleeding but not have any pain at all, just like you did. This might mean that her uterus is getting ready for birth soon, but the placenta was stuck into the uterus wall very low down, and it's blocking the baby's way out. Your baby would not have been able to be born because the placenta was blocking the way, but you would probably have bled to death before then." "Oh," said Betty, as she turned pale. The doctor continued, "Your sister was quite right. Any woman who bleeds in the last few months of pregnancy must go immediately to a hospital before she gets weak and pale, and before the baby dies inside her. If the placenta is low, the doctor will deliver her baby by an operation through her belly, because the baby cannot get out the normal way. That's what we did for you." Betty looked very thoughtful. "So you saved my life and my baby. Thank you." The doctor added, "And you should thank Vera. She knew bleeding was dangerous, and she knew what to do. She helped save your life, too." The woman in the bed next to Betty was listening. She said, "In my village, people think a woman who has lost a baby is dirty or cursed. So if there's a problem during pregnancy, a mother hopes that the problem will go away or that the people won't find out. Then they collapse and get taken to the hospital, but sometimes they die because they waited too long to get help." The doctor nodded. "Yes, that's sad, because it's not true at all. A woman who bleeds or loses her baby is not cursed. She does not have a bad spirit, and she should not be punished and kept apart from others for weeks. It's not her fault at all. And nothing bad will happen to the people who are near her. She can cook food for her family and other people. She can sit with other people. She can travel. She can work. She can live normally. She will be sad already. There's no reason to treat her badly. Thank God that your sister helped you get to the hospital quickly. And now you have a beautiful, healthy baby. So please tell your friends, any bleeding during pregnancy is dangerous, and if they bleed after the middle of pregnancy, they must come to the clinic immediately." "Oh, yes, we certainly will," said Betty and Vera together. "And thank you for everything you have done for me, doctor," added Betty happily.
The doctor said that if a mother has any pain in the stomach after an accident, she must go to the hospital immediately so the doctor can stop her bleeding inside. He said that sometimes rest and medicine can stop the bleeding before the placenta peels off the uterus wall, and there's a good chance of saving the baby. Even if she's not bleeding or in pain, she must go to her healthcare worker or clinic if she's had some kind of accident, so they can keep watch for a few hours and make sure everything's okay.
And remember, she must go, even if she has bleeding and no pain. If there's no ambulance or car to take her, she can be carried or walk if she's not too weak. But she must get there as soon as possible.
How many times must I prove how much I love you? How many I'm so glad Betty's story ended with a healthy baby. It doesn't always, as I know.
You're right, Naomi. And we'll talk about that. For some of us, it's easy to get pregnant and have a child. But many women have trouble getting pregnant, and others have miscarriages.
Naomi is joining us at Women of Hope to tell us about the many things that she's learned during her life. She's worked in Nepal for many years, and we wanted Naomi to tell us about her experiences because, besides being married and having three wonderful sons, she's had some very hard times. How did your journey of being a mother begin, Naomi?
Well, I was 25, and my husband, Darren, and I were working in India at the time. And I remember that one day I looked down at my arms and noticed that they were empty. And I just wanted to fill them up with a baby. And I read somewhere that that can happen to women, that you're going along normally and suddenly realize that your arms are empty. And that's how it was for me.
So once you knew you wanted a baby, did you get pregnant right away?
No, I didn't. And I realized that, like most women, I had so little control over that part of my life. And I cried, and every month I was disappointed, and I wondered whether it would ever happen.
I think most of us know what it's like to wait for something we really want, don't we? It's very hard, and it's easy to get depressed about it. Did you feel that way?
Yes, I did. And at the time, I seemed to notice pregnant women and even baby animals everywhere. And they reminded me of what I didn't have.
So what happened next?
Well, not very much. After a while, we started thinking about adopting a child. And then on the 27th of June in 1994, we were praying. And Darren, my husband, was convinced that God spoke to him. And he felt that God said, "You will have a son this time next year, and he'll be a man of prayer." And when Darren told me this, I didn't know what to think. Was he just imagining it? I was so tired of hoping and then being disappointed. One night I couldn't sleep, so I went and sat on our flat concrete roof. It was a full moon, the stars were bright. And I was sad. I started to pray. And after a little while, the tears changed almost to a sense of deep peace, because I knew that whatever happened, I belonged to God. I was His, and I would wait for whatever He had for us. And then on June 27th, 1995, I gave birth to our first child, a son, exactly a year to the day since Darren felt that God spoke to him. It was the exact day.
What a fantastic answer to your prayers.
Exactly 1 year. I love how God works. So you and Darren were parents at last and were able to care for this new baby. Was it easy to get pregnant with your other children after this?
No, it wasn't. On Christmas Day 1996, we discovered that I was pregnant with our second child and were so happy. But then late in March, we went to have our 18-week ultrasound of the baby, and we were so looking forward to seeing it on the screen. But I'll never forget the look on the doctor's face that day. He turned around and said, "I have some very bad news for you. The baby has died." And then he went on to tell us why. But I remember just not saying anything, and Darren didn't say anything. We just held hands. And after a while, the hospital staff asked us what we wanted to do. But we just wanted to go home. We wanted to pretend that it hadn't happened. But we couldn't go home because I had to have an operation. And while I was having the sleeping medicine, the words of a song came to mind. And it was strength for today, hope for tomorrow. There were just those six words over and over again. And it was such a comfort at the time.
Our God is so wonderful. He can bring the words from a song or encouraging words from a friend into our mind to help us during the hard times. They remind us of what is true. And sometimes He uses words from the Bible too. It's one of the ways that God shows us He loves us.
That's right. God was reminding me that He was my strength, that He would help me get through this day, and I would still be His. And then tomorrow He would be there too. He would be my hope for tomorrow. But it was still hard. Afterwards, I kept dreaming that the baby was still there, and then I'd wake up and realize that I was empty, and I cried a lot, and I was a bit too sad to talk for a while.
You needed to grieve for your baby, didn't you? Of course, there were tears and sadness.
We did grieve, and during that time we received lots of letters and words of comfort. And during the day, the words would pass through my mind as I moved around the house and outside. And over time, I did begin to feel thankful that I had known our child. And our pastor and a friend came to our house. They helped us grieve. We named the baby Miley, and we sang and read the Bible together. And we did seem, after a while, to be able to move on slowly.
It is well with my
You're with Women of Hope, and we've been hearing from Naomi about how she lost her second baby. So, Naomi, your life went on. You were planning to go back to Nepal, and you discovered you were pregnant again.
That's right, we were stunned. We cancelled the plane tickets and planned to stay in Australia. But then the following week, I miscarried that baby at 8 weeks, and there were more trips to the hospital, more doctors, more needles. And it happened again 3 more times. I became pregnant again and then had another miscarriage. And you'd think by then that I would have been used to it. But I wasn't. Every time I cried and I cried and I hung on to God and He held me. And Stephen was actually nearly 5 when I discovered that I was pregnant again for the 7th time. And our friends by then, well, they were excited for us, and I tried to calm them down. I said, no, you don't understand. I've had a few problems. The baby might not live. But then in the September of that year, our second son did arrive, and it was wonderful. And during those whole 3 years, I started to write down all the things that God was teaching me about Him and about His love for me, that He was in control and I could trust Him, that there was nothing I couldn't handle with Him, that everything in my life happens for 2 reasons, to give Him more glory and to make me more like Him, even though it was hard. And I think the thing is that we all go through difficult times, and in some of them God feels distant, absent. Our prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. Are you really there, God? But then there are other times where it's difficult, but we do have a sense of being carried, of being loved and comforted. But either way, you know, God is there all of the time. He hurts as we hurt. We don't understand His ways and His plans, but we do understand His love, and that's what we hold on to.
Naomi, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm sure many women will understand your hard times, and maybe they will understand how God carried you through them.
I hope that you were encouraged as you listened to Naomi's story. She's a very special woman.
No, I'm an ordinary woman, but I have a wonderful God. And I pray that you will know His love as I have, His strength for today, His hope for tomorrow.
Maybe you have a story to share. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.